What is up, guys and girls, and welcome to another episode of the Football Manager Creators Podcast. Today, we have with us Super Swan. How are you doing, dude?
How's it going? Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good.
Great stuff, great stuff. Parkera.
Kia ora, how are we going?
And we've got a special guest on today, in place of Parkera, who's here.
Two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. The Don Gaming, how are you? Welcome to the show, man.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No worries, no worries. The Don, if you don't know of him, check his stuff out. He's also the guy who does our, sparingly at the minute, our YouTube channel, but he's going to be uploading a bit more soon as we grow. We are sort of regenerating the FM Creators Discord community, so we're taking baby steps, but we're getting there. It's looking positive, the future. If you can, please do leave a little review and a rating for us, because it does help. So what I wanted to kick off the show with before we get into our saved updates is we've got a member in the FM community at the minute who's found a home within the FM community for his draft league, Oblique Kick Gaming. Luckily, we've got the Don on because he is the man who's going to tell us a little bit about that draft league, because I'm not in it and I don't really know much about it, but it seems to be a very, very big hit at the minute. There's a lot of people involved and it's really kicking off. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Don?
Yeah, so I'm going to clarify. It is a draft in a sense, but it's not a Football Manager draft. So it's done on a custom database. And there's 16 of us who, I think the majority of us are creators. I think Sass is the only one that isn't. And then OKG is putting together this custom database where we've all selected our players in draft format using the Discord, the FM Creators Discord, and we've selected 18 men team that's going to go into this database, and he's going to simulate the games over the course of a season, and they're going to go on a YouTube, and everyone's sort of going to have their own little bit to put on as well, should they wish to. But the picks sort of have just happened this past week, and there's some very interesting teams going about, so I'm curious to see how it goes. And I think himself, I'm never going to try and pronounce his name. I don't envy you for trying, but OKG put together one of the best teams that I have seen, because he went for experience while everyone else went for youth.
So Oblique Kick, is that the guy you're trying to pronounce his name?
Yeah, yeah. Just doesn't roll off my tongue at all. I believe so, I just call him OKG.
I think he's a wrestler or some sort of a cage fighter or something. And your obliques are just muscles, aren't they, in your body? So I think that's where it is. Oblique Kicks. So he's recently become a bigger part of the FM Creators Discord, and the home to this draft league is in there. How can people watch it?
Right now, it's, I believe, going to go onto his channel, and I think he's going to send a save out. So I think he's going to cover one or two games a week. And show them as sort of the featured games, and then everyone else has the choice of showing their games. The games are all going to be simulated, so it will not be live comms or anything like that. So it's going to be, he'll probably know the result, and we'll know the result before we review it. But it's just sort of updating you on how it's going.
And how's your team going?
My team, it's obviously not kicked off. The database is still in its final sort of transitions at the minute, from what I'm told. But I'm really happy with my team. I think there was a couple of players that I really wanted that I missed out on, but I got most of the players, mostly because I went for my fullbacks early, so I got my preferred fullbacks, whereas everyone else was going strikers and centre-backs and goalkeepers early on. I'd sort of didn't put too much emphasis on them. I knew that for my the formation that I'm going to use and send them over, that the fullbacks are by far the most important in that. So getting Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, I think, made everyone else adjust, and then I can then sort of pick up the scraps from there. But my team, I think I've got Donnarumma as my goalkeeper. I've got Haaland up top. I've got a midfield of Neves and a guy called Florentino Luis, I'd never heard of, but I was scouting him and he looks absolutely unbelievable at 19. And I think the wings was the only position that I didn't really get first choices. And even then, you still end up with Correa and Royce. So I think it's a very strong team that I've got.
Sounds like a beast team, that does, to be fair. That sounds amazing.
As soon as you said Haaland, that's all you have to say, isn't it? Donnarumma, Ringo and Haaland up top. Everything
Robertson, Trent
really
as well on the fullbacks. Yeah. Haaland up front. Sounds like a beast team.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got first pick of the draft. They've done it as a snake draft, so it went 1-16 and then 16-1.
Right, okay.
So nobody had a big advantage, but I got literally the first pick, so I took Haaland straight away. Nice. As the number one pick. So
the most informed player in the world at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, but I think when you look at Oblique Kick's team, everyone else is going sort of young, so I think the first picks were Haaland, Sterling, Messi went quite early, Mbappe, Mane.
And he jumped in there with James Milner.
And he's got his first pick, somehow in the 11th pick, Cristiano Ronaldo was still available. So he took Ronaldo, he's got Ter Stegen, Salah, Kimmich, PK, Kolarov, Thiago Silva, Bale, Rakitic.
That's a good team.
Fabinho, David Silva. You know, that's just his first 11 picks because nobody else went for experienced players.
I take it it's only going over one season with the average age of his team then.
I think he's wanted to run it for two, but I'm looking at it, and I think he said the last time that he'd only be thrown one game a week, and I'm looking at that and thinking FM21 will be coming out by the time he's finished this.
Well, I said that, yeah. Because I think with that as well, because a lot of people, timing, huh? Yeah, I was gonna say, because a lot of, see, if a lot of people are picking young players because of Football Manager, you do tend to lean towards young players and develop them. But if it's only going for like one or two seasons, it might be a good idea to pick the likes of David Silva, Bale, Ronaldo.
Ones,
yeah. So I think that's quite clever.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've done my team on. Was if you look at my team, a very young team. I think my team and Old Lady Plays team are probably two of the youngest teams in it. I think Old Lady Plays has maybe got slightly more game time than mine in real life. But we're definitely the two youngest teams. And I think if you were to look at over three or four seasons, I think we'd suddenly become big favourites. Whereas I think straight away, Oblique looks the big favourite at the first season because his team is just full of that 30-year-old plus world-class players.
And he's using Football managers to simulate the games?
Yeah, I'll be on Football Manager 20, and he's creating a custom database just now.
Just for that,
I think he's got a couple of sort of teething issues that he's just trying to correct at the minute. And obviously everyone it's given him bits of feedback based on what they're seeing. I think I seen this morning that he ran a simulation of it for the first season, make sure everything was working in order. And it ran for 45 games. And I'm looking at that and thinking, 45 games at one a week, that's, you know, March next year before this season finishes. That's not even just FM21 being released anymore. That's halfway through the cycle.
I mean, maybe he's doing it as like a tester season to see how it works. Then maybe he'll sort of do it again next season, because obviously it's got quite a big following already. Maybe he'll do it again next season, but a bit more sort of streamlined.
Yeah, and I think that's what T. Davy had said. I think, is that Tyler? Always get confused with all the various...
Tyler or T. Davy, yeah.
Yeah, he'd said, you know, even just using this year as a test year, running it next year. I think what the plan is right now is that the two teams that finish bottom will fall out and be replaced by two new people.
Yeah.
So I think the big person that's been related to that is it FC United? FM? The guy that will
United
give the
City.
Big plug to? Yeah,
oh,
United.
Yes.
I think he's sort of one that's wanted to get in and then didn't quite get in or didn't confirm in time.
Yeah.
I know he's definitely top of the list to be coming in for the second season of it, whether that be this year or next FM. But I do think this is a very solid idea, and I think it's got a lot of potential about it within the community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sounds good.
So before we move on to save updates, can I just say that you're taking me right back to my childhood? I feel like I'm getting up for school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and good morning, Britain, or whatever it used to be called, with Eamon Holmes. That's who I feel like is talking in my ear right now, Don.
I don't think I'm quite that good.
You're much better than Eamon Holmes myself.
Much better. It's just that the accent that's making me very calm right now. So that's good. Just took me back to my childhood for a few seconds there.
Are you trying to say that mine and Parkier's voices don't make you calm on the podcast? Is that what you're trying to say?
Your voice makes me angry.
Well, that's to be expected. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, you win the quiz on the show. You won the quiz yesterday on my stream. Like, it was like a massive kick in the balls.
Well, you know, your words, not mine, just saying.
I think we need to send them to Chester then.
Yeah. Well, we've got a friend in Chester now, haven't we, Swan?
Yeah, someone on his streams from Chester. So
which was absolutely brilliant when we found out she was from Chester. so we've got ties now. We've got links to Chester now. So it could be on, and we could go midnight skiing, I guess.
If you want to go midnight skiing, that's all on you, man. You go for it.
Okay,
I'll be at the city walls waving at you.
Yeah, just look. Yeah, just be outside the city walls, just watching us ski down the hill.
Yeah, you go.
Okay, so save updates. As Don is the guest today, we'll go with him first. How is your save going? Tell us about what you're doing and how it's going.
So right now I'm using a sort of custom database. I started it before the recent updates came out, and in real life, Queen's Park have gone professional, or I think they've worded it as professional. I think right now they're semi-professional, and then next season they'll be looked to go to professional. Obviously, they've always been hard blocked amateur. So I'm doing a save with them where they're on to semi-pro. There were some database errors with it that I couldn't fix, really down to bugs. And then one that was inconsistent. So I've ended up with a lot more money than I should have had through the sale of Hamden. But we're into the second season now. We got promoted for a season, and we've now gone fully professional. And right now, I think I just uploaded last night the sort of episode before the January window of that second season, where we're doing really well. We're top of the league in League One. So going for back-to-back promotions at that point.
Okay, cool stuff. Parkera?
It's going really well.
Tell us about your recording.
It's going absolutely well. I really had, you know, the save is going fantastically well. It's, you know, now 2 months old. Sitting in the pipeline, just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
Now and again, it picks his head and goes, "Hello, are you going to play me?" And I say, "Yeah, nah."
I noticed the Lancashire lad unfollowed me. Is that due to him? I was gonna say, is that due to is he no more?
He is no more.
Right, he is no more. Okay,
he's in
okay.
Self isolation for coronavirus. He's
is that
in
what
self-isolation.
It is? Is he the coronavirus?
Say that. I mean, you know, he shouldn't have gone swimming. You know, during the storms
in the
grounds, as he did. You know, as he was supposed. You know, as he did. And yeah. I think he got sick through that with the coronavirus or something like that. So he's gone.
Okay. And Twan, tell us about yours.
Yeah, so going? I think last time we had a chat about the save, I think we were saying that I'd won the league with AIK in Sweden.
Ooh.
The best Swedish team, definitely not Trelleborgs. So we won the league there. We followed that up with a Swedish Cup win as well. So we did the domestic double, which was really good news. So we were preparing for our first Champions League qualifying campaign. So we got drawn against Dundalk of Ireland. I was thinking, easy pickings, you. We'll get through the next round. Not a problem. And then they proceeded to destroy us over two legs. I think we drew 0-0 at home and they beat us 3-2 away. So I wasn't really that impressed by the performance, if I'm being honest. But then
away goals count double, though.
Say again?
Away goals count double.
So they had a away goal on us. We drew 0-0 at home. So I think it was the other way around. Sorry. So they went 3-2 at our home. And 0-0 away. So we would have lost anyway, 3-2 on aggregate. So it wasn't the best of results.
Sounds good but to then, me.
Yeah, well, of course it would sound good to you. I'm not surprised by that. But something really, really amazing came up. So I was looking at the job centre just to see kind of what jobs are out there. And one of the biggest clubs in Europe, I would say, PSV Eindhoven, came up. And I applied for the job thinking, I'm not going to get this. You know, it's not, I'm a bit too early for me. And surprise, surprise, they offered me the job. So I'm nice. Out of Sweden, and we are starting as of next week. So on Monday, now come in, we've got episode 1 of Club 4 of our Campus to Champions journeyman series, and we're starting with PSV Eindhoven. So I'm really looking forward to it.
So your journeyman is four clubs long, really, then?
Yeah. So we're four That's clubs quite... in.
No, but I mean, you're already sort of in the Champions League now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, because I think one of the first episodes I got to record for PSV is the Champions League playoffs, because they didn't win the league. I think Ajax won the league. So we have to go through like a playoff round before we get into Champions League proper. So it'll be really interesting if we can get into the Champions League for the first time properly as part of the save. But yeah, I mean, four clubs in. We started Swansea Uni amateur side, went to Glentoran, Northern Ireland, which then went to AIK in Sweden, and now ended up in Holland with PSV.
So is the idea for your journeyman to win the Champions League, or is it going to go above that?
Yeah, Champions League is the aim. So as soon as we win the Champions League, that's the series over. That's the ultimate aim.
So potentially your journeyman could be a four. That's not bad going. That's too quick for my liking, but that's not bad going as a challenge to go from a Swansea Uni to...
Yeah, we've done well. I think we've been lucky in that the jobs that have come up and we've applied for. So it's gone really well. I think we're one club away, I think, from winning the Champions League. So we're going to try and hopefully do well with PSV. And I think the next club we go to will be quite a big
Barcelona's, club. Your Barcelona's, your Borussia Dortmund's and all them,
Unless I fail spectacularly, we end up going backwards.
Yeah, so, I hope you don't. Honestly, I hope you don't.
Cheers, mate. I can tell the sincerity in your voice.
Well, the Dutch league's always fun to play in. I've found whenever I've played FM and gone to Dutch leagues, whether it's the main, you know, the Premier or the second division, it's always, just for some reason, a load of fun.
Yeah.
So it should be good for you. It should be real good. And
I just got to get my Dutch pronunciation spot on now, and I got to watch Old Lady Plays' video on Dutch names now instead of the Swedish ones. I'm getting it.
On my stream, I've spent the last two streams trying to get a bloody job. Looking actively while I'm streaming. I did quite well with Trelleborgs in the end. There was three games left when I got a new job, and I got offered the job, which I'll tell you about in a second. When I got offered the job, there were three games left, and we were this close to getting into a Europa 2 slot. We were in it, and I managed to delay the job for 2 weeks, and there was one game left, but they wouldn't let me delay anymore, so I was absolutely gutted. So in my last stream with Trelleborgs, I had to look back and see how Trelleborgs had done, and unfortunately, when I left them, they were 1 point behind AIK, and then when I saw the last game being played, they just dropped out, and Helsingborgs got into the Europa League 2, which was a sting, really, because I reckon if I'd carried on that one extra game, I reckon I could have left them in a Europa League spot, which would have been brilliant with the fact they had no money. So moving on, that's why I took the new job, because I thought, I need coaching badges. These aren't going to give me coaching badges. They're just hemorrhaging money. There's nothing I can do. I was making £1 million from friendlies and stuff. And, you know, and then throughout the season, we were just dropping £2 million or whatever. It was just, it was not sustainable. So I had to leave. I wanted to stay in Scandinavia, and I got to stay in Scandinavia finally. I ended up in Finland with a club called KPV.
Sounds like an energy drink.
Yeah. Well, they're called Kokkolen Palovikot or something like that. I'm just going to stick to KPV. I'm just going to
think that's a good
KPV.
Effort. You did well there.
Yeah.
So is that team worth it, though, for the change? I mean, I know you said in the old club financially, but the fact that you got so close to Europe, do you think the new club's worth that change?
Well, this is the thing, right? Because so Swan knows what's coming, right? So the issue is I wanted out of there so badly because it wasn't a bad team. I loved my time in Sweden. I really, really enjoyed Sweden. And I really did like Trelleborgs. And I was, even though I had no money and I couldn't progress, I reckon I possibly could have got another season and, you know, out of them and that. But because it's a journeyman, I'd already been there 4 seasons. So I was a bit like weary about staying at one club for so long. So when this job came up, I thought, yes, I can go there. At least I'll be able to get coaching badges and all that. And, you know, and I got there and their finances are insecure. So they've got no money and it's basically the same again, as far as I can see. But they did give me a coaching badge. They have put me on my, is it the National A? Not the top A, the lower
A.
Yeah,
National A, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, so they have put me on that. So it is one good thing. I don't know if we're going to stay here longer than a season. Hopefully once I got the badge and got these in a position. But I did get these KPV relegated in my final game. In my first game, actually.
Good start.
I took over them and they were pretty much already relegated. We had to win the last game and we lost to the team above us in the league, who were second to bottom, who also got relegated. So they might as well have just let me win. So, you know. But yeah, it was one of them. So we were relegated, but because it was already basically on the cards, I've still got the job. So as long as I get them up, maybe 2 seasons at these and then see where we go with that. We have got that whole mass exodus with the players, you know, not wanting to play because we've dropped down a league, but hopefully we can stem that and come good, I guess.
I think the thing when you're saying about leaving Sweden because of money, I've actually never managed in the Europa League 2. I can't. Is there a lot of money in that that would have even made any difference? Should you have got into that and then wanted to stay?
I imagine it would have made a little bit of difference because literally the money we were getting in Sweden was like, I think if you win the Premier League in Sweden, you get like £1 million. And I was making £1 million in friendlies. And then it was just hemorrhaging money. So I don't think it was sustainable. I don't think I could have taken them any further than the Europa League. But then I got them promoted and I got them, you know, we were meant to be fighting relegation when I took over them from the first division. And within four seasons, I've got them into the promotion into the Premier League and then got them into almost a Europa 2 spot, which I think is a really, really, really big achievement. But yeah. how much further I could have got them, I don't know.
Yeah, I genuinely think it is a big achievement. I just think that your decision's probably right because I'm looking at it and I think the Europa League's £5 million for the group stage, if I'm right in thinking. So if you're saying you're hemorrhaging money, I can't imagine a Europa League 2 would have made it any more sustainable.
No, probably not. It probably just would have stemmed the flow a little bit. But I'm not sure where Finland comes in comparison to Sweden.
Yeah, you could have a look at the competition and reputation and see where that is. But if you're going down into the Finnish first division, I don't think that's going to be higher than the Swedish Premier Division. I think that'll be probably, Sweden would probably be higher than the Finnish First Division.
I'm sure that Sweden's one of the sort of, it's sort of that league that's, I think, between 10 and 20, you know, the same sort of Scotland, Czech Republic sort of area.
Yeah.
I'm sure Finland's down quite a bit. I'm sure, is Finland predominantly semi-professional, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. So,
yeah.
We're renting our ground like off the council, and I think we get 30% of gate receipts. So again, we're in. It's lucky I like a challenge, to be honest.
Just think of it as you're getting your coaching badge, and then you can get the hell out of there and find something else.
Maybe that's, Swan can give a job as an assistant manager.
Yeah, that's basically it. I've gone and the idea is that there was no way they were going to give me a coaching badge. I spent the whole of the last year in Trelleborgs asking for coaching badges and they wouldn't give me one. And because of that, I couldn't progress. So the fact I've had to take sort of like a sideways step or even a slight backward step to get a coaching badge to maybe go forward is necessary probably.
Yeah, just getting another promotion under your belt and you probably get a better reputation boost anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping. So maybe one or two seasons here and then see where that takes us. Main topic, biggest losses. So we put a tweet out asking the FM community what their biggest losses were, not just in Football Manager 2020, but in general. Most of them have come back with 2020, purely because I guess they're fresh in the mind. I mean, it's hard to remember a 20-0 drop in. Yeah, in FM09 or whatever. So, as first, as always, he's first again. Dodgy Gamer, a quite recent one for me, as my FM Andorra team were dropped 7-1 by Atletico Madrid in the Cup. For context, we were only one division below them at the time and we were playing at home. For some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to feature it as an episode on YouTube. Yeah, why not? Why not put a 7-1 drubbing on YouTube?
Well, to be fair to him, he is because I've watched this episode because he does his Andorra save, and I watched it, and you know, it is Atletico Madrid at the end of the day, and he's only just got into the second division, so it's kind of to be expected to get drubbed. But you sometimes think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to be that one team to get the cup set, and it's all going to go well, and then you get
drubbed
7-1.
And then Football Manager goes, fuck off.
Nope. Nope.
I would have done the exact same. I'd have put it on YouTube as well. I mean, in my Queen save, I played Celtic and I managed to get a replay off of them. And I put both the main game and the replay up. And I was expecting a big drubbing in that game. So I'd have done the exact same.
Yeah.
Because it's searchability, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's put the episode, he's linked the episode to that that comment on the FMC comment. So if you want to go and look at that, it is there. Then we've got Chuck FM, right, and he's put, all right, ready. So he's getting us ready. All right. Multi-save with my brother, FM 15, I think. He's got auto-promotion with Stevenage. I have to settle with playoffs as Cheltenham. Semi-first leg, 2-0 win at Southend. Second leg, Cheltenham 2. Southend 7.
Wow. Unlucky, mate.
Yeah, so not only has he got drubbed, he's got drubbed by his brother. That's bragging rights. He said, I don't know if it falls under deserved FM'd or something far deeper. I imagine it's probably something far deeper. Like, to lose to your brother is... I mean, to lose to the FM match engine's bad enough, but to lose to your brother has got to be...
But then even going 2-0 up into the second leg, you'd be thinking, oh, do you know what? Just see this out now. You know, grab one goal. We should be all right. And then the other team score 7. Yeah. So I can feel his heartbreak on that one, 100%.
Yeah. I reckon Southend had brought in Akinfenwa. That's what I reckon.
Get the beast on.
Yeah, beast mode. And then we've got newly acquired admin Cheechy FM. It's not my biggest loss, but it's my worst recent one. So on my YouTube series with Atherton in Season 1, we got beat 5-0 in a cup game against a team the division below us. They went 3-0 up in the first 20-30 minutes and we just crumbled. So if you don't know who Atherton are, that's completely fine. They're not a very good team in the northwest of England, and they were lucky to get promoted out of Prescott Cables division last season. And I don't favoritise anyone in that division. So yeah. But yeah, that's that one. And then we've got avoiding relegation. I had a bug in the fixtures whereby I had to play Man United as Everton twice in 3 days, both EPL games. Lost the home game 7-1. 7 seems to be the key number here, doesn't it?
It's the magic number.
Yeah. Lost the home game 7-1. Worst defeat in FM20 so far.
7-1.
And another one. Matty89, one of our new streamers. Lost 7-0 to Juventus, but I had 2 red cards and an injury after I made all 3 subs. See, that is why you don't make all 3 subs. What does everyone make all 3 subs?
I usually do. Never have one goal.
The thing with making 3 subs, right, is I always find if you make all the subs too early, you're going to get a red card or you're going to get an injury.
Yeah, I think we said this on the pod before, didn't we, about when we used to make subs and minutes and stuff. Yeah. I think my magical numbers are 60 minutes, 75 minutes, and then see what happens after that.
Right, see, I tend to do like 60, 75, and then 80. But obviously, if there's fitness, I'll adjust that. You know, I think game that I played last night, I made a sub in the 50th minute because a guy who I thought about bringing off at half-time was absolutely knackered. I'd risked him through an injury risk because other players were injured. And he was just knackered by that stage. And then that obviously affects when you make your second and third sub as well.
Yeah.
I sometimes even forget to make a third sub. I said this in my podcast before, because I do it on the 60th and I do it on the 75th. I'm thinking, oh, I'm waiting for something to happen. Like you say, Don, I was just looking at fitness. I'm looking at, you know, injuries and stuff like that. And then next thing I know, the game's over. I'm like, yeah, okay, then cool.
I'll do that in the big games, you know, the games where you're playing a team that's a division above you, 2 divisions above you in the cup, and you're winning 1-0 or you're drawing and you're getting that home replay if you can hold off. And I'll try and leave a sub for like the 90th minute just for that little 30-second time waste.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the game ends and it's like, why didn't I make that time waste?
It's like, well, I should have made it 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I just tend to not make the third sub unless I have to. I don't know why. I just think FM's against me. I just assume that it's gonna screw me over, so I don't do that. And then we've got Donut Donny, 2-0 up with 17 minutes left, lost 5-2, and still don't know how that happened. That is one hell of a comeback. 5 goals in 17 minutes.
That's a self-destruction, that is, the last set, like, part of the game.
Yeah, that's complacency at its max, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, when you say that, when I was looking up to try and find my biggest losses, I tend to always have quite a good, stable defensive team.
Yeah.
So I'm having to go back a couple of FMs. And one of the results that I came across that I didn't actually lose this game, but I drew it, was on FM18 and I was at Toulouse and I was using the game breaking formation with Toulouse. And that was in my journeyman. It was the only team that I used a game breaker on.
Yeah.
And we were 6-2 up after 60 minutes and we did not win.
Wow. Yeah. All goals.
We've mentioned that in a pod as well. You know, like when a player scores like two goals or even a hat-trick occasionally, when they score a hat-trick, like they won't score again. Like, it's like 2% chance they'll score another goal once they're on a hat-trick. It's just ridiculous. Like, they can be on form the whole first half and score a hat-trick and be battering the game. And then all of a sudden, the second half comes and they just like stop playing.
Yeah, sub them off, let them get the round of applause.
Yeah, yep. That's what I do. If someone's got a hat trick, get them off because I don't know why it is. They just don't tend to carry on playing, do they?
They've done their bit. They go, right, I've got your hat trick, boss. What more do you want out of me?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I've earned my wage. I've earned my crust. I'm off. Then we've got Cobby 3178054.
That was good.
Yep.
Did well,
railed that off. It was when I was playing a FM20 offline game and I was Blackburn. I got hammered 7-2 by Yeovil in a cup game and my players were fit and high on morale. After it, they weren't.
No, I can imagine.
Okay. And then we've got Vince Gray. On my current journeyman, by accident, save. Journeyman by accident, save. Okay, I'm a current journeyman by accident save in Irish Premier as Shamrock Rovers. It's only really me and Dundalk for the title. 4 games to go, even on points. We play each other. Final score, Shamrock Rovers 3, Dundalk. Go on, have a guess, guys.
7.
6.
I'm going to go for 8. I'm going to have a feeling that it's going to be like one of those where his entire team is just big match bottlers.
It's the biggest amount of goals I've seen a team score. 14.
How did you concede 14 and score 3?
17 goals in a game.
I've never ever seen a team score 14 goals on any game.
Was it Dundalk you said it was as well?
He was Shamrock Rovers. Yeah, and it was hit between him and Dundalk for the title.
I've recently developed a hatred for Dundalk, so yeah, I'm feeling
this
pain on that one.
Is that since I read that out, or
since they knocked me out of the Champions League in my journeyman? But yeah,
to be fair, you're saying that, and I'm actually trying to think of what's it? Big results that I've had that have gone in my favour, and you know, obviously, I manage Rangers quite a lot, being a Rangers fan, and doing that on YouTube. So yeah. Recently we've had the first Europa League qualifier, which on FM we have a ridiculous edge on if you get the right draw.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling to think of a game. You know, I've had a couple of 9s, a 10s, maybe a couple of 12s. I don't think I've ever had a 14 though. It is ridiculous to score 14 goals.
I've never seen it. I've literally never seen it in Football Manager. So
fair play.
Vince Gray. And then last but not least, we've got Chef Rob Gaming. Short and sweet, 10-2 with Newcastle against Man City on stream. Now, I don't know if that's just to annoy me.
But I think it's 100% to annoy you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's realistic.
Very realistic.
Can I just say, we have taken 4 points off Man City in the last 2 seasons.
And that's your claim to fame, is it? That's your
I'm a Newcastle fan. That's all I've got.
We've taken 4 points off the last 2 years. Well done. Good job.
Yeah, that's all I've got. So, unfortunately, that's going to have to be my claim to fame.
4 okay. points off Man City and the Kevin Keegan rant on repeat.
Yeah,
yeah. that is how it is. Yeah. So, the Don, you can go first. Tell us about your biggest loss.
Before I was doing this, I researched it, and I think actually someone said about playoffs beforehand. And I think there's a game I forgot about. So the game that I was going to say was in my Blackburn save on Football Manager 17. We lost 4-1 to Man City, and that stood out to me as my biggest loss. But I'm actually thinking my journeyman from FM18 now. I managed Forfar, they were my second club, and I got them into the playoffs. But much like I said before, the entire team hated big matches. So on the last day of the season, we bottled the league. That was a pretty hefty loss. And I'm sure, I can't remember the exact results now, but I'm sure over the 2 playoff legs, the team that finished fourth, we'd finished second after bottling the league, of course, But the team that finished fourth beat us something like 14-0 over the two legs.
Yeah.
Because the players, as much as they were superior for the league, none of them wanted to play in a big game, so they just all went into their shell and played like they'd never played football in their life.
I don't really usually take any notice of whether they like to play in big games or not. And maybe I should look into it, because does it make that big of a difference? Is that actually something that really does make a difference?
So. Yeah, I think it does. And I think it was something that, like yourself, you say, I normally tended to build teams and have one big match player who'd be in or around the team and who'd come in for the big games.
Yeah.
And I think when I built this four-for team, I never looked at it at all. They were all... There was a couple of experienced players, but most of them were quite young players because there were free players that had, you know, been released by top division clubs that you could get on cheap wages. And it was only after the games that I went and checked and seen that every single one of them dreaded big matches. And I'm like, well, that explains the loss, because it was such an uncharacteristic performance of the team throughout the season since I'd taken over. You know, we were normally such a strong team. I think we'd came back from a decent bit behind in the league. I don't think we'd have deserved to have won the league by any stretch of the imagination, but I think going through the playoffs would have been justification over the season. And it was just when I went and seen every single one of them dreads big matches, I'm like, do you know what? And I went through my subs bench, my reserves, my youth team. It didn't matter who I could have played in that game. Every single one of them dreaded big matches.
Yeah.
So don't buy players that dread big matches.
At least not 32 of them.
No. Yeah, just have a whole squad full of them.
Did you pick your team sheet on who didn't like big matches? Like, we're probably not going to play any big matches anyway, so.
Actually, I'd done that in my Queen save in the first season. I dropped players based on that when it was coming to the point where we could win the league. I think I made 3 changes for the first attempt based on dropping everyone who dreaded big matches and trying to bring anyone in who, regardless of ability, had the little green symbol that says thrives on them or whatever the word it is.
Yeah.
So I've definitely adjusted since it. I've learned from that mistake, but I'm pretty sure that's on YouTube as well, actually.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a good one to do a video on. The mentality of the players.
Yeah.
So, do I need to ask Parkera? Can you remember your biggest loss? All them months ago?
Well, definitely nothing this last season that I've FM 20. But there's one that just still stands out, because I was thinking about this, just wondering, one that kept creeping up was a 7-3 loss. It was in my Nottingham Forest save I did a while back, and it was an FA Cup match, and we weren't favourites, put it that way. We were against one of the bigger teams. And they were 3-1 up. We managed to get an early penalty, and, you know, as things do, the other team just kicked into another gear. And then we managed to pull it back in about the 75th minute somehow to 3-3. And it was like, okay, we're hanging on there to extra time. Managed to hang on to extra time, and then come extra time, they put the rest behind, you know, the rest of the goals away. The team just ran out of legs, and the other team were pretty much let their quality shine there. So that was the biggest loss I've come through. It was an interesting game. It was like one of those games where you get to full time, you fight, and you don't know how you manage to fight back. You're pushing all the buttons to try and win. You just, you know,
you're trying everything you can think of to try and make a difference.
That's right. You try and just get it, and then it's just like, yeah, nah, thank you, and they just absolutely slaughter you. And that was disappointing. Yeah, that's the biggest loss. But you know, against a team that we weren't supposed to do that well against anyway. But when you pull it back, and you always hope for the something, don't you?
Yeah. Okay, and Swan?
So the biggest, I've gone on a slight tangent, because I've had big losses, and I'm sure it's very similar to everybody else. But there's one loss, not for my team, that I've seen when I've been going through fixtures, that's always stood out to me. And it was when I was playing, I think it was FM 13 or FM 14. I was managing in Portugal at the time. I think I was managing Boa Vista at the time. And they have the Portuguese Cup. Like, I think it's like the Taça de Portugal, I think it's called. And right off the top of my head, that was. So I remember seeing a game of Porto was playing against like a Serie D club, or like 4 leagues below them. And the score was 11-1 to Porto. And I always remember, because it was all the ones. And that's the biggest result I've ever seen in Football Manager going. I was like 11-1. And I remember looking at the team and they pretty much put out their strongest side they possibly could. And I was just thinking, if you're playing a lower league club, surely you could rotate the team a bit, you know, give youngsters a go. You'd still probably get a result. But I was looking at the team and they had like, I think it was when they had like Falcao in their team and they had like all the big players. And James Rodriguez was playing for them at the time. And I was thinking, did you really need to abuse them 11-1? Was that really required?
Yeah.
And like I say, it was just the fact it was 11-1. I was like, all the ones, it's an easy result to remember off the top of my head.
They're the type of games where I go through my team and you know where the assistant report comes or whoever you ask to give the report for your star ratings. You know, usually give it to the highest coach or your assistant that has the highest judging ability and stuff. And I tend to go through and I'll look at, right, what league are they in? So if they're in League 2, for example, I'll look at all my youth players that are League 1 quality. Right, yous are playing in this game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tend to do as well in my cup games. I'll just go do a full rotation and give all the youngsters a run in. So I was really surprised that they put out their strongest side. So like I say, it's not so much a defeat for me, but that's just the one defeat that sticks out for me because I just thought, you know, that's just bordering on abuse. Really, yeah. I was quite felt sorry for that Serie D team or that lower division side because they didn't really have to be hammered that much.
Well, speaking of abuse, at least they scored a goal.
They did well. They scored one.
Yeah. Do you know what the frustrating thing for that? See, if I was managing that team that lost 11-1, that's like it's that cup draw. That's like yes, I don't know what it's like in Portugal in terms of how gate receipts are split, or if it's an away tie or a home tie or whatever. But, you know, that's a lot of money that they'd have brought in. But at the same time, morale is so huge on Football Manager that team's season has just been destroyed by that cup draw.
Yes.
It's like,
again,
yes, I've just had £1 million, but my team is now going to not lose all season.
Yeah, and to keep it relevant, we'll move on to my biggest loss, which is 11-0.
Oh, yeah, do tell us about this game.
Yeah, I will. I mean, you already know Swan, don't you? Because you were in the stream. But basically,
you, like I say, you tell the story.
Yeah. Do I want to advertise that I have a what is it called?
A forfeit.
So basically, on my Twitch channel, for 3,000 measly Kylex coins, which you can get for free by watching me on Twitch, you can choose my tactic, for a game. Now, there's a lad who comes into my stream quite a lot called Matty Eriksson, and he's Swedish, and he supports Gothenburg, however you say their names. He supports them. Gothenburg. Yeah, well done. I'll thank the old lady plays for that. So, yeah, he supports them, and he's actually my head scout. He's helped me quite a lot throughout my Trailborg save, and I've named my head scout after him. And he decided to make me play a 2-5-3. Now that doesn't sound too bad until you realise that the 2 is my defence, and they're my left and right backs. The 5 are attacking midfielders, and the 3 are strikers. Right, so.
Sounds like something Marco Verratti, Thiago Motta rather, would come out and do.
So basically we had nothing in the middle. And Swan has done this as well against his AIK save, and I think we lost 6-4 or something?
I told you it was good tactic. Guaranteed goals.
Yeah, at least we scored some goals. The weird thing about this tactic is that I had 71% possession and 14 shots and 7 shots on target.
What he didn't tell you was is that all that possession was him kicking off and then losing the ball.
I must have been running the ball all the way up to the other end of the pitch and then letting them lob it over me and then them scoring. Like they had 29% possession, 29 shots and 20 on target.
The problem is when you've got, because it's a fullback you've got in defence, you've got nobody in the middle.
Exactly.
So if you're a striker on a possession team, the two fullbacks probably go forward and join the attack. You just stand on the halfway line and wait on some guy clearing it to you, and you've got a free 60-yard run to go.
Yeah, so
and
with
that's
this,
pretty much what happened.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened 11 bloody times. And the worst thing is you know when you like once it's because of the it's a forfeit, I have to leave it. I can't shout because that changes things. I can't take advice from my assistant manager. So I've literally just got to sit here and watch in 3D as my team get absolutely pillaged down the middle, and I cannot change anything. So Swan did it, and so did Matty, and that basically ruined my last season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll never do that in a season that I am taking seriously. Because, so as this I said is, previously, just kills the morale, and morale is massive.
That's it. And that, and this is my save that I'm actually doing on Twitch, and I've put that forfeit in. So people can... I was hoping, actually, some people might come in and go, oh, I've got this really good tactic, you should try it out. But no. People just tend to wait until I play their teams, cash in 3,000 Kylix coins, and get me absolutely mullered.
So I can't believe you're throwing me under a bus like this. I gave you a tactic that scored you 4 goals.
Yeah, but you also gave me a tactic that conceded how many? Like,
all I told you was I guaranteed you goals, and I was correct.
Yeah, against me.
I didn't say whether it'd be for or against.
Okay. So, anyway, on that note, it looks sounds like a good time to go about starting the quiz. So, currently, we are 5-4-2-2 Super Swan. Park Era's got 2. And today, kindly, we've got the Don doing the quiz. So have you got the questions, dude?
I do, yep. I've got them on my screen right now because I put them on Word because my writing sucks and I'll never be able to do that again.
Okay, so this is based on the main topic, something to do with... It has to be related to biggest losses, right?
Yeah. Okay. Every question is involving a pretty big scoring game over various times. So we're going to cover... just about every year in football, and without looking up, I wouldn't know some of these answers. So, good luck to you.
Oh, awesome. We're really good at historical football knowledge. Aren't we, Park Era?
I mean, some of it's more recent. Yeah. Some of it is more recent. So, question one. The biggest losing margin in Premier League history. How big was it? And forgive me the exact score. And I'm basing that on, for example, a 3-0 would be... worse than a 4-1. I'm basing it on that because you've not scored.
Yeah.
It has been achieved twice, and there'll be bonus points for naming both of the losing sides.
Well, I'm just throwing guesses in here.
Premier League, we said, didn't we?
Yeah, Premier League specifically. So it's since 93.
I know the score. Do I get? I know the score.
There's a point for the score and a point for each of the teams.
Okay, so I'll go first. Thanks. I know the score. It was 8-0. The teams. I say recent. It's about 9, 10 years ago-ish. I'm going to guess the teams. Norwich and Chelsea, I'll guess.
That would be 0 points.
Ah!
And I'll give a clue. This happened this season. It was equaled this season.
This season?
Yeah.
And we need to get this season's one or one of the two?
There's a point for the result, a point for each of the teams. So this season's team would count as a 1 point, and the previous team that have done it would count as a point as well.
The score, I think, is 9-0. Not too sure about the seasons. I'm going to say Watford is the losing team. And I know, I'm pretty sure the other result years ago was Leicester losing to Man United.
1 point.
Ooh.
Well, that
I'm not going to say which one it is because obviously we've still got
I
was thinking the 6-0 against Man City and Newcastle, but I'm just going to say 9-0 because I think that's the right one now and go with... Norwich being a losing side?
No.
1 point for the 9-0. Ipswich and Southampton were the two teams.
Ipswich, yeah.
Should have known Southampton, they had a terrible start this season.
I kind of feel like I should give Parker an extra point because Ipswich lost 9-0 to Man United, so it was a team in blue, and he got the winning team right. It was so close.
You're the quiz master.
Yeah, I'm going to just give one, so Parker for one.
Sweet.
So, I'm sorry if you hear my typing, by the way, but I'm supposed to have a muted keyboard as well. So, question two, we're sticking with the Premier League just now. In August of 2011, Arsenal lost to Manchester United 8-2. Which two players scored for Arsenal that day? There's a point for each player.
Oh, what year was it?
August of 2011.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Van Persie. And Henri? I don't think he was even playing from them, but I'm gonna go with that anyway.
I'm giving you 1 point now.
I'm gonna give it a guess. I'm just trying to think who would have been that team. I'm trying to think of two players who was in the team around by that time. So I'm gonna go for the goal scorers, Arshavin. And I don't know. I'm gonna go for Aaron Ramsey.
No points there.
I'll go for Van Persie. And I'm gonna put a big wild card out here. I think I got the year wrong, but I'm gonna go for Welbeck.
1 point again. Van Persie was correct. And Theo Walcott was the other one.
Who remembers Theo Walcott?
Is he still playing?
Theo Walcott, that's a decent shout. Yeah.
Is that Everton now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
So question three, and again, we're sticking with the Premier League and we're going back one season. In that season, Wigan found themselves on the losing end of a 9-1 and an 8-0 in the same season. Which two teams did they lose those results to, and a point for each team?
Spurs was one. Spurs and Man City.
1 point.
I know one of them. It's Chelsea, because that was the game I think I was thinking of before. So I go for Chelsea. I'll go for Spurs.
Parketta?
Chelsea and Spurs.
2 points each. I feel like I should probably, for that reason, I should probably let you answer them all in hindsight, actually, before saying how many points you've got. Because that's a bit obvious, I'm sorry. But yeah, Chelsea and Spurs were both the correct answers.
Cheers, Dar. Thanks for the spoon, mate.
No worries. I remember that one as well.
From now on, we'll let everyone answer the questions in one go, and then I'll count how many points each. That's my bad, guys. Sorry. So again, we're staying with the Premier League, but this will be the last Premier League question for just now. In September of 2008, Man City were taken over by Sheikh Mansour. But in the May of 2008, they lost 8-1 to Middlesbrough. Who scored for Man City that day?
Oh, God.
Jeepers.
I'm going to guess. Ben Jarney.
2008.
That's my guess.
Did that even exist? No idea. Shitty, I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I should know this because my dad and my brother are both Man City fans. I just can't think of who was playing for the team.
Both sides of City fans. I wouldn't even know who they had.
Trying to think, it was when they had like it weren't a big team, was it? It was just
It was pre Sheik, so it was about 4 months before they got taken over by Sheik. It's not the strongest team. I think Mark Hughes might have still been the manager at the point. I'm not sure though.
I think he was. Yeah. Right. I'm just trying to. I don't think I can remember.
Right. It was Alano.
Alano. Oh. Do you remember Alano?
We do now.
Yeah. He was actually good for him, wasn't he? And then he went off and was terrible elsewhere, yeah.
I think he's about the only City player that I could name other than Joey Barton pre-Sheikh Mansour, to be honest.
They didn't have a bad team.
Yeah, they were a pretty.
I mean, if they lost
8-1,
they
never had big names, did they?
No. They had a lot of youngsters back then as well, didn't they? They had the likes of Micka Richards and all that coming through. And that Johnson guy who retired.
Yeah, I think so.
I should have known that because me brother and my dad, they'll kill me for not answering that.
I think it's a funny one when you're asking for the goal scorer of the losing team in a big result like that. You know, you'll maybe remember that Downing scored a hat-trick, I think it was.
I remember Downing being like a massive pain in their arse. Like, I think he just ran and ragged the whole game, but I just couldn't think who was in that team.
Yeah.
Because I've had my brother jamming Man City bollocks down me face for the last 10 years. Like, Ilano completely went out of my head until you said it.
Yeah. So, yeah. When I seen it, when I was looking at it, I was like, Ilano, he is one of the players that I thought would be memorable from that time.
He is memorable. As soon as you said it clicked. I was like, of course. Not of course that he scored. It was just a matter of that he played for him, and I'd completely forgotten he had played for him.
Yeah. We're going to switch to the Champions League now. So again, post 93, because we're looking at only the Champions League era. Including qualifiers, what is the largest winning margin of a single game? Again, same process as previous. So if the team's not scored, so a 3-0 is worse than a 4-1. And could you name the two teams involved? Again, 3 points available here, one for each of the teams and one for the result.
So you want the result or the goals between, like, the results?
Just the result.
Oh, I'm going to go last because I think I know the answer.
It's a single leg that I'm looking at right now. Right. At least I'm hoping my research is right on that and I don't look an idiot.
I'm going to go last because I think I know the answer.
I have no idea what the answer is, so I'm just going to throw out something silly. 7-1, and I don't know the teams.
No point. Oh, I'm sure I shouldn't be saying that anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw out 5-1 between Team A and Team B.
So my answer is going to be, and I only know this because I'm a Liverpool fan, is I know Liverpool beat, I think it was Malmo 8-0. I think that was, I don't know if that was qualifiers or not. That's the only one that sticks out to me, but I'll go with that one.
That was up there. But it wasn't the largest.
It's good, but it's not correct.
It's good, but it's not right.
I think you were right. I think that was up there. Liverpool definitely were up there in some of the big results for that. But the correct answer was HJK Helsinki beat Bangor City 10-0 in a qualifier.
Oh, you should have known that. Oh. Come on.
Wow.
Are you even really Welsh?
Was it Bangor that on the receiving end of that result?
I imagine so.
Bangor were on the receiving end of that.
I don't think Bangor scored 8 goals in a season, let alone in a qualifier.
That does not surprise me one bit.
Staying with the Champions League era, what is the largest win over two legs in the competition proper? So we're looking at the last 16 to the semi-finals here. And again, this result over both legs and points for both teams involved.
Again, I'm just going to throw a... I'm going to go 12-0.
And the teams?
No idea. I'm a Newcastle fan. I don't do Europe.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess over two leagues, the final the aggregate being, I don't know, 10-1.
And you're going to have a shot at the teams?
Nah.
I'm going to go 9-2. And the teams, Arsenal, because they always get hammered, and Manchester United.
Ooh. Yeah, all so close in very ways and not hitting the nail. It was 12-1 was the score.
Wow.
Two legs. It was Bayern and Sporting.
Oh, I almost said Bayern.
Ironically, when you said 9-2, I was thinking, when I looked at this, I thought 9-2 was the record because there was a semi-final. I think it was Monaco and Porto, the year Porto won it. I'm sure it was 9-2 over the two legs.
Yeah.
So I expected that to be the right answer, but I was wrong when I researched it. I think Parker is going to have a bit of an advantage here.
Well, don't guarantee anything.
On the 11th of April 2001, a world record set for the largest win, or defeat if you want to put it that way, in international football history. Who were the teams involved and what was the result? Again, points for each one.
God! I'm going to go first. God, of, oh my goodness. 13-0 New Zealand versus Fiji. All whites versus Fiji. Pretty sure that's that.
Right, so I'm going to go guess next. So I think it's going to be around about that sort of hemisphere that the result's going to be in. So I don't know, 15-1 as a guess. Are we guessing teams as well?
Yeah, it's a point for each of the teams and a point for the result.
So I'll go for, I'm trying to think of big and small teams, Australia and, I don't know, Fiji.
I think he's right with Australia. I don't know anything else. I've read somewhere that Australia did have the highest score in international game. I don't know anything else about it. I just remember reading somewhere. I think that Australia did have the biggest win.
Yeah, Australia was the correct answer. So a point for both Kyle and Swan there.
Nice.
31-0.
Jeez, wow. I didn't know it was that big.
Against
was
American
it a,
Samoa.
Was it a friendly or a competition?
I couldn't find that much out, but I'm pretty certain it was a competition. I'm sure it might have been a qualifier or something. I'm sure that's a big reason why Australia now plays in the the Asian instead of the Oceanic qualifiers, because they just were deemed to have too big an edge, and I'm sure this result was one of the ones that they used.
Yeah, but
to
they haven't got Mark
that.
Viduka and Harry Kewell anymore, so they're rubbish.
No, but they've still got London Dykes.
31-0, mind.
That is crazy.
That is a hammering.
I don't even know where I read that. I just remember Australia having the biggest score from somewhere, and I don't know where. Like, I don't even know if I've actually ever known what the score was.
Yeah, I actually thought it was more than that, if I'm honest, when I was researching it. I thought it was slightly higher. But I remember similar reading about it at the time.
Well, you can think about the likes crazy. Of Germany playing, like, San Marino would be, like, much higher, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but Germany tend to play the kids in those games, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, 31-0, though. Oh.
I mean, talk about their dynamics going downhill.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I'm right in thinking the Samoan team was put together like on a rush or something like that. I'm pretty sure none of them had played football before. I'm sure
yeah,
I read
America,
something
Samoa.
Like that.
Yeah, America Samoa. Just looking it up now, and it was a World Cup qualifier for crying out bloody loud.
Oh, did they qualify?
Yeah, I was thinking way back to bloody 82.
Did they qualify though?
I'm not sure if Australia.
No,
Australia
I don't think
Australia did. They'd have to have played a playoff against one of the Asian teams to get the spot that year.
Yeah.
And that was one of their big issues, was they would win the Oceanic qualifiers really, really easily.
Mm.
And then they couldn't beat the Asian qualifier to get there. And I think since, New Zealand have had a qualification since, haven't they?
Yeah, they have,
We qualify now, because of the change. We have to qualify through CONCACAF, I think, the Central American. Because of the same sort of deal, really, though. Yeah, since Australia left, it's we just walk through the qualifiers, and then it's like, okay.
And it's, now we've got a game that can't get us there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's one of them where you need competitive football, isn't it?
Yeah.
On to the next question. So we're going in for an even larger result now, and we're going way back. The largest defeat in a professional football game that was not thrown was in the Scottish Cup in 1885. Arbroath beat Bonacord 36-0. There was goals disallowed, and there's two sources for this that are both different. So we're going to go with the referee's one here. How many goals did the referee, Dave Stormont, claim to have disallowed? I'm going to give it the closest answer wins this. So try and don't go too close to each other, please.
36-0 win. So how many goals were disallowed? There couldn't have been too many disallowed, surely. I'm going to go with 7. Just because we were talking about 7 earlier on the being the lucky number. So I'm going to take that as a...
I'm going to go 14.
So 32 goals scored and 14 were disallowed. That's a big game.
36 scored, 14 disallowed. So the 50-goal game.
So Kyle... Darren's gone 7, Parker's gone 14. I'm going to go 15. And if it's any higher, then I'll be the closest.
Can't be higher. It can't be that many, surely.
Kyle hit it nail on the head. Did I? Yes. Yeah. So
because we were talking about the losses earlier, saying that 7, I kept pointing out that 7 was the reoccurring number. Omens, I'm telling you.
Rounding it to 50.
You're lucky I went, you're lucky I went for the ref. You'd have still won. The media said that there was 5 goals disallowed, which is why I highlighted specifically the ref's claim.
Yeah.
Because there was 2 different answers.
I mean, to be fair, if you've scored 36 goals, there's not going to be double digits disallowed, surely. That's why I was going about 7. And then
you never know. That's why I thought I'd go for 15.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be... That means it's 51.
36. So it's like 14 more. It would have been a 50-0 game. It's a possibility.
There's a possibility. Okay. I'll take that.
Scottish football.
We're now going to the largest result in football history. The record for the previous game stood until 2002. This game was thrown. It happened in the Madagascan Premier League, so I'm not expecting proper reasons here. But basically, the previous season, the champions of the league were Esso Erne. AS Adema, I'm butchering these names, guys, I'm sorry, have already won the league by the time they play this season. The result for this game was 149-0. Most of the goals were scored in protest. What were the team protesting? There were own goals that were scored in protest, I should clarify. What were they protesting again?
They 149 own goals were scored.
I don't know how many of them were own goals. That information is not in any of the media things that I could read, but basically most of the goals were own goals because they were under protest.
What would be the reason for them to protest? Madagascan football as well. They weren't happy with the stadium. I don't know. I'll throw that in as a guess.
I don't know. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Gosh. Oh, protesting. What year was this game?
2002.
I thought I was expecting it to be sort of like 1932 or something stupid like that.
No, it was recent.
I'm just going to put it FM related, and I'm going to guess the manager had to have a team talk, and he got the wrong option. And he yelled at them or something, and they were protesting something that their coach had said or did.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's got. No, I don't know. It could be anything. It could be anything. Like, referees? I don't know.
I'm going to give you that.
What, referees?
The referee gave a controversial penalty late in the game against them in protest. They repeatedly kicked off, passed it back, and scored an own goal.
Wow. It was the same game?
The same game. The referee gave a controversial penalty. I couldn't find out what minute this penalty is. All it would say was a late penalty, and it was controversial. So I'm giving you the referee the answer.
I just couldn't think. I thought, well, got to be something to do with the referee, isn't it? Like, everyone hates the referee.
From my understanding, 4 players and the manager got absolutely hammered for this. But for some reason, despite the controversy around it, it's still in the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest defeat in history.
I'm all surprised it was 140-something-0. That's probably the biggest result I've ever seen in my life.
It's a completely thrown game.
The
previous record was the Arbroath-Bon Accord that was in the previous question.
Yeah.
That helped.
I'm surprised the ref didn't call the game off.
Is it a professional game? Like, could I like play like six-a-side football with my mates and just try and beat that record?
It was a professional game. It was a league game.
Oh, that sucks. Because I reckon I could do that if we work with the other team.
Just let me flick this down because I've got like a question over two pages because the way it's worked out. So I'm going to get confused. I'll end up reading the tiebreaker question. I don't think we're going to need. So there is 2 points available for this. In 1974, Zaire, now known as the Democratic Republic of Congo, equaled the biggest loss in World Cup finals history, losing 9-0 to Yugoslavia. What was the two teams involved in the previous 9-0 match? A point for each team.
In World Cup, you say, is it?
Yeah, and World Cup final, so qualifiers are not counting.
Right, so I'm going to throw some guesses out now. So I'm going to go for... So a big team that would have done well, Brazil, and a really team that would have been there may not have done so well, Costa Rica.
France and Uruguay.
Germany and... Bloody Nora. Australia.
No points all round there. But I tell you what I'm going to do, right?
As soon as he said Brazil, I was like, didn't France beat Brazil 9-0?
I'm going to give you the year. And I think from the year, you might be able to get the team that won the game because they had an unbelievable team around this time. It's one of the best teams in history. And it's widely regarded as that. So the year was 1954. So a second chance to get a point each year.
Uruguay.
Hungary.
Uruguay.
Hungary was the correct answer, so I'm giving a point to Super Swan on that. So Kyle, on 8 points, beat Super Swan with 7.
Yes!
So we did not need the tiebreaker question, which I was actually looking really forward
Screw
to.
Screw you, Swan.
I thought I'd give you a win eventually, you know, give you a chance.
Well done. Well done, Kylex. Well done for winning that quiz. Congratulations. And all that. So that is all we've got time for today. So thank you to everyone who's joined us, Super Swan, Parkera and the Don. Do you want to just give a quick shout out where to find us? Don, you can go first as you're the guest.
Yep. So I can be found on YouTube and Twitter just for... Basically, YouTube, just type in The Don Gayman, or if you want to search specifically for my Queen's Park series, FM20 Queen's Park will get you there. And Twitter, I'm at @the_Don90, and obviously in the FM Creators Discord as The Don Gayman as well.
And Super Swan?
So, yeah, as always, you can find me on YouTube, Super Swan. I'm on Twitter, @SuperSwanYT. I'm in the Discord as Super Swan as well. I've also just started up my Twitch channel, which is Super_Swan. So I'm going to be streaming a lot of like RPGs. I'm doing a Final Fantasy 9 stream over there. So if you want to follow me on there as well, that'll be great. You can get your characters named after you. I've already named Kylex and Parkera in there, so you can find out who your characters are. But so yeah, check me out on all those socials as well.
And Parkera.
I'm at Parkera Games on the old Twit machine, and YouTube is Parkera Games as well.
And I am, as usual, Kylex Plays Everywhere, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. So, yeah, that is all we've got time for today. Again, let me just mention that if you can give us a rating or a review, please do. It really does help us. But for now, that is all we've got time for. So, until next week, peace out.
See you.
Ciao.